We should read this to every CEO of every network marketing company out there. They were manufacturers. That's normally what network marketing companies are. They either manufacture the products themselves or they have them manufactured by, they're outsourced, you know, like many companies do. But they're into the product and telling you how great the product is, like manufacturers. He said, I'm reading that from him, telling the results was a new idea to them, what people want, you know, the smooth ride. He said they were manufacturers interested mainly in a type of construction. They were interested in the manufacturing details, and naturally they talked those things to the public, which is what you get. No matter which company it is, there's a big thing on science and how the product is made, and it has Dr. Ding-a-ling behind it and a scientific panel and blah, 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 blah. The same thing. And there's nothing wrong with being interested in that, okay? And they teach you all of that. You always have science sessions or the equivalent at all your conventions. And here's what Hopkins says. There lies the chief reason why no manufacturer should ever conduct his own advertising. Why? He says few attempt it now. The advertiser is too close to his factory. That is, a company like any of the companies, they're too close to the factory where it's made, where all they want to talk about is the manufacturing details and the ingredients and the science of it, because that's what they do. So naturally, they'd be interested in that. He says his own interests, namely in those things, tend to blind him to the interests of his customers. He fails to appreciate the consumer's side, which is precisely our problem. That's why people don't respond to science. It's not their interest. It's the company's interest, and maybe yours if they've told you that, but it's nobody else's interest, we've talked about this. So Hopkins says the manufacturer, namely your companies, tells of things he takes pride in, his methods, his processes, the size of his plant, the age of his business. Hello? This is 1912, you know? The advertising man must study the consumer. The advertising, that's you. You are the marketer. Your job is to market the product. Theirs is to come up with it and develop it or get it made and pay the checks and ship it. So the part that they're missing is your job. You have to market it. And that means you need to study the consumer, your prospect. That's what's missing. And he says the advertising man must study the consumer and tell what he wants to know. And that's how they sold the Goodyear tires. They focused on the thing that the consumers wanted, which was apparently some kind of a smooth ride or what have you. Does this make sense to you, to everybody here?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it does.
Hey there, this is Kim Claver, and that's a little excerpt from a class I teach called Strategic Inviting. And the idea there was to teach people how to advertise. And, you know, whenever you talk about your product or your business, you are advertising to whoever it is that's listening. So you can talk to people, and sometimes people call that sharing or some other word that tries to avoid the reality, which is that you're talking about what you've got for sale, and you're hoping that somebody is going to say, yes, I'd like to buy it. So that's called advertising, and you can do that in ways so that people really enjoy hearing what you've got to say. So it really depends on what your angle is and how to do this in such a way that you're not focused on the thing that you're actually selling. And that was the lesson in this particular part of the class. When the man, Claude Hopkins, said, the chief reason why no manufacturer should ever conduct his own advertising and why very few people do it now is because the person who manufactures the product or programs, whatever it is too close to his factory. His own interests tend to blind him to the interest of his customers. He fails to appreciate the consumer's side. And what he meant was this, and I quote from him again, he tells of the things he takes pride in, his methods and his processes, the size of his plant, the age of his business. However, the person who advertises, that is, goes to the consumer to market this and try to bring in sales, that person must study the consumer and tell what the consumer wants to know. And consumers really aren't interested in the motors or in the DNA or in the science first. They're first interested in what it can do for them. So that's really the point of this. And you can do this in your network marketing business. You can talk to people about the business and about the product without ever saying exactly what it is that you do, so that you're looking for that thing somebody might have an interest in. Because what's the purpose of our business? The purpose of the business is to do the thing so that you end up with a life that's better than the one you have right now. Whether it's because you have more income, whether it's because you have another bedroom on the house, whether it allows you to take more trips during the year, the things that you can do with it, feeling proud, feeling secure, feeling like you can strut down the street. These are all different kinds of outcomes that people do businesses of their own for. And there are many, many of them without ever mentioning the business. Because people want to know first what it's going to do for them. Like, why do you buy a drill? Well, not for the drill, but so you can drill holes. You do something with it. Why do you go to a gym? Well, because you really like to go and schlep over and park and work out. You really go to a gym because you want to look good. You want to feel good. So gyms sell look good, feel good, be attractive to yourself and to other people, have that energy back that you used to have. They don't really sell. Let me tell you how many push-ups you're going to do, you see. So this is like that, and I have a couple of programs that help you do that because I've sold like this my entire life. And one of them is a recruiting program. And I give you some samples, which I'd like you to hear, so you can see if it's something that resonates with you. And if you go to the link that's called recruitingicebreakers.com, just like it sounds, recruitingicebreakers.com, recruitingicebreakers.com. Go there, opt in, and you'll hear about 15 minutes of the Art of Recruiting program, which is probably my number one selling recruiting program, because it teaches you how to do it this way. So instead of selling your company, instead of selling the income, which you really can't sell anyway, it's not even legal, but you don't know what the person's going to do, there are other things you offer to entice a right person to find out what it is that you do to make this happen. And that's how I recruited, I think, my first company, 287 people personally, in my first 7 or 8 months, doing exactly this. So I'd like you to hear it and just test it. This is a freebie, so you can hear some of the things that I do, and then you can see if you love it, you might want to get that program. All right? So go to recruitingicebreakers.com, and you'll opt in, and you'll have a list of 5 or 7 situations where, whether you're standing in line at the post office or whether you're walking down the street, where you have conversation that you can use. It doesn't sound hypey. It's not full of, you know, boasting and chest beating and all that stuff other people don't like. And gets the right people to say, well, gee, what have you got? Let's sit down and chat. All right? This is Kim Claver. And if you're not on Facebook, come on over. You can come to my page. I make tips like this there almost every day. So you go to facebook.com/Kim.Claver, K-L-A-V as in Victor, E-R. All right, thanks for listening. Talk to you soon. Bye.